since it's election day, we are praying for clean, honest, and peaceful election. Maybe some of you voted already?
Yes.
No? Well, okay, you can always tell who voted. They have one finger marked with the ink. So. There's something beautiful about the democratic process, and I think it's good to reflect on it from a Christian perspective. And Bishop Mercado, in his pastoral message yesterday, which was read at all the masses, I don't know if it was read at your masses, but anyway, he pointed out that voting is not only a civic duty or a patriotic duty, it's also a Christian duty, because Christians are responsible to take their place in civic life. So if you haven't voted and if you're registered, please fulfill that duty. I was told, I was talking to some of the neighbors, the senior citizen line is much faster. So if you take the senior citizen line, I think many of you qualify, then you won't have to stand for hours in the sun waiting to get to vote. I was surprised when I heard the bishop's message yesterday. There's 317 members of the lower house of the Congress, and then 12 senators, and then here in Las Piñas, the mayor, the vice mayor, a whole bunch of, I guess, city councilors. I didn't see any posters for barangay. Is that not a barangay this year? Not this year, okay. Anyway, there's potential for a lot of change on election day, and people say, well, in theory there's potential, but because of political dynasties, a lot of things don't change. Anyway, it's important to do our part, even though we're not in a perfect system. Now, because it's election day, and because we just had the selection of a pope, which is not the same, but there's some connection, it's good to reflect on the role of leadership, of shepherding, of authority, those who are in authority over us, our own places of authority in our families and in our workplaces and situations. Because this is one of the ways in which God works. He works through human authority. I know the papal election, I mean, it's not going to say, because we didn't vote for the Pope, nobody voted for the Pope. We didn't vote for the Cardinals, we don't vote for the Bishop, we don't even vote for the parish priest. No, it's not a democracy. The church is not a democracy where the people decide who's going to be their leaders. But there is still something fascinating about the process, and even the secular world seems to have been impressed by the church in these last 2 weeks. On one hand, the great dignity with which the church honored the late Pope. So that's a right way to honor a leader with respect. And then the process of selecting a successor, people were impressed by the order of it, the traditions, something of the continuity, the ancient participation in something bigger than just us. Now, I talk about people without faith. They're not impressed by the Holy Spirit guiding the cardinals to choose the Pope. What they're impressed by is the white smoke and the red vestments and the processions and the fact that an ancient institution can come up with a leader and everybody accepts the result of the election. There is something even humanly impressive about that. Now, when it comes to authority, of course, we have to set up in a place by himself, Jesus Christ. And that's clear from today's gospel. Jesus is the gate, he says here. Jesus is the gate. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to the fullness of life. That's why he can say in another place, I am the way. That title belongs only to Jesus Christ. No pope, no president, no prime minister, governor, mayor, or anything else is a way in that sense. We know that. People of faith know this. It's important, though, because when we do talk about people with authority or who have influence in society, very often we do give them too much prominence or put too much of our hope in human authority. Yes, it does have its place, yes. It's relatively important, but not, it never takes the place of Jesus the way, Jesus the gate. Since we're in a Jubilee year, I think it's helpful to remember that this image of Jesus the gate is connected to the practice of the holy door. The holy door in a Jubilee year church or in a basilica is a symbol of entering into the church. It's a symbol of Jesus Christ. How do you get into the mystery? Well, you pass through the door. You pass through the gate. If you don't pass through the gate, well, then you don't get in. If you don't pass through the holy door, you don't get the indulgence. So it's symbolic language which conveys something which words alone don't have that capacity to do. That's what I mentioned before about the symbolic language of the white smoke and the chimney and these things. So this is how the church speaks to us. Well, and so does Jesus. He says, I'm a gate. Well, people say, what do you mean I'm a gate? You're obviously a person. No, he is a gate. He's a connection between God and man, between heaven and earth. He's the link, and he's the only one. And he says everyone else who poses as the gate is just a thief, or a thief or a robber. People who, in other words, come not to give you life, but to take from you. Our friend who's in jail, who claims to be the appointed son of God, comes to mind. He's a thief. I'm not judging his judicial case against him, but he's claiming to have this place that only Jesus has. And that's robbery. No, Jesus says that the thieves come to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's Jesus' mission, to give us not just human life or a better society or a better government, but abundant life, meaning share in the life of the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Share in eternal life. That's the mission of Jesus. Now, and I stress that because if we start there, you might say, well, why do we need a pope? If we have Jesus Christ, why do we need a pope? Why do we need a governor or a president or any other? Why doesn't Jesus just do it all? And the answer is, he has decided to do it all, but through his chosen instruments. He uses people who are willing to participate in the process. He wants us all to be part of it. That's why he gives all of us, in some degree or another, a share in authority. When we're baptized, we are all made kings. Priest, prophet, king. We all have a share in some authority. If not over anyone else, at least over ourselves, we have responsibility for this kingdom of our own life. But it's clearer when you're talking about people who have authority over others. And in today's first reading, we have Peter, who is being challenged by the Jews because of his ministry to the Gentiles. And you can see here, God at work. Yes, through the Spirit, through the work of angels, through the vision, but it's God at work, but God is working through Peter. This intermediary role is very clear in Peter's case. After all, if he wanted the Gentiles from what town is it? Joppa. I don't know. He was in Joppa, and then he went to the, I don't remember where it was, where Cornelius was. I don't know. Anyway, but you say, if God wanted Cornelius and his household to be converted, why didn't he just do it himself? After all, he sent an angel. Where is that? Oh, yeah. When he got there, the man told him, I think that's Cornelius, he told him how he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who's called Peter. Now, if God sends an angel to the guy, why doesn't he just show him? Why didn't he just go there himself? Why doesn't he do it himself? Why does he have to have this big thing about a tarpaulin coming down from the sky with all the angels, with all the animals? Well, God, see, is using this incarnational method, this participation method. Yes, God can speak directly, and he does, but he also speaks through others. He acts through others, and this is the church. See, when Jesus was in his public life, he could say things like, I am the gate. But once he ascended to the Father, he reveals his authority in the church. That's why the selection of the Pope is so important for us, because the Pope is acting in the name of Jesus Christ. He's acting as the vicar of Christ, as St. Peter was in today's reading. So St. Peter acts in the name of Christ, and the successor Peter does, and then by extension, everybody who has authority is a participant in this establishing of the kingdom. So Peter himself had to learn that what it meant for Jesus to come, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. This abundant life is being extended beyond the confines of the Jews. It's being extended to these uncircumcised people, these unclean people. And you can see Peter's reaction to the unclean animals when he sees this vision, and the voice says to him, "I'll slaughter and eat these unclean animals." And Peter says, very self-righteously, I have never eaten unclean food. Unclean, profane food has never entered my mouth, as if he's the most innocent person in the world. Now, we know Peter is not innocent, but when it comes to eating unclean food, he never violated that particular law. And then the voice comes and says, well, what God has made clean, you are not to call profane or unclean. What God has made clean. Those whom God has chosen. So no human authority can counter God's authority. It's always in cooperation with God's authority. So when God says, these people are included, Peter says, well, who am I? Who am I to go against God? Or the way he puts it is this way. Who was I to be able to hinder God? Who was I to be able to hinder God? Get in the way of God. Very true, Peter. Be an agent of God. Be an ambassador of God. Participate in God. If you don't do the will of God, yes, in a sense you hinder God, but especially in your own life. And this is where sin comes in. We're responsible for ourselves more than for anyone else. And when we don't do the will of God, yes, others may be affected. They may not gain through us what God wanted them to have. But maybe not, because we can work through others. But we ourselves are hindering God in our own life, in our own kingdom. And that's never the right choice. So we have to vote for God in our own life. Yes, we participate in civic life, public life. Be sure and vote. Try to choose good leaders. None of them will be perfect. None of them is the way. None of them will provide life more abundantly. But all of us have our own part to play in this process. So we pray. We do not hinder God in our own life. We participate. We pray for those, our leaders especially, both leaders in government and in the church. And in this way, as a church, as one body, we continue our journey to glory.